And our next case this morning is United States versus Hayes, case number 091613. Mr. Stiller.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Daniel Stiller from Federal Defender Services of Wisconsin, and this morning I appear on behalf of Johnny Hayes, who presents this court with a single discrete issue of claimed procedural sentencing error. As a matter of law, it's Mr. Hayes' claim that his constitutional right to be sentenced upon accurate information was violated. Factually, the predicate for that legal claim is that the sentencing judge, Judge Randa, seemed to receive two victim vignettes during the course of the sentencing hearing and to conflate the two of them into a circumstance in which he found aggravation that wasn't supported by the vignettes as they were individually presented. Specifically, Johnny Hayes robbed several banks. One of them is relevant to this appeal, if only because the victim vignettes flowed from a single of Mr. Hayes' multiple robberies. A bank employee by the name of Diane Smith came and told her tale of victimization, and they'll minimize things by calling it a tale of victimization. She shared her experience. And as part of the harm that she perceived having flowed from Hayes' offense was the fact that prior to the robbery, she and her colleagues at the relevant financial institution shared a camaraderie and a cordial work environment that Judge Randa deemed to be hunky-dory. Another bank employee by the name of Courtney Ceballos Navarrete shared her reflections upon the offense and described a circumstance in which on her own time away from the bank, she was at a grocery store and she encountered somebody rushing in wearing a hood who was African American. She froze up and she fell on the floor. Clearly what she was communicating was that this circumstance of someone rushing into the bank wearing a hood who happened to be African American as the robbers were gave her somewhat of a flashback and she responded in kind. Judge Randa, in describing the Section 3553 nature and circumstances of Hayes' offense, spoke of the damage done to workplace morale and attributed or aggravated that unfortunate circumstance by the fact that, in the court's words, it even damaged racial relationships amongst the employees. The mistake that Judge Randa made is that it was only Ms. Smith who spoke about damage to workplace morale. She did not in any form or fashion suggest that there was any kind of racial component to that otherwise unfortunate circumstance. Ms. Ceballos, I'm not sure that she really spoke to racial relationships. In other words, what she said is that when someone rushed into the grocery store, and she did say rushed, wearing a hood, and was African American, it caused her somewhat of a flashback. And I'm paraphrasing when I use the word flashback. I don't think that she ever said that the robbery caused her fear of persons of color in general. This was a context-specific thing. But more importantly, her experience in this particular regard was on her own time at some other place, having nothing to do with the relationships with coworkers in that hunky-dory environment that the employees shared prior to Mr. Hayes robbing the financial institution. To be candid, in terms of the nature and circumstances of Mr. Hayes' offense, there are plenty of otherwise aggravating circumstances. And those plenty of otherwise aggravating circumstances might very well justify the within-guideline sentence that Judge Randa ultimately imposed. But I think because under Gall, the balancing and the weighing of the facts as they apply to the Section 3553A circumstances is, in the first instance, left to the district court. This case, even though the error is discrete, even though there's otherwise appropriate aggravation. I think the sentence does need to be vacated. The case does need to be remanded to Judge Randa. Who knows what might happen at the district court? Maybe there was a racial component to the workplace turmoil, but the record as it exists does not support that particular form of aggravation.
As I understand your argument, then, you're not challenging the propriety of this sort of a sentencing fact or factor as influencing a sentencing decision per se. You're making a fact-based argument that the record doesn't support it here?
If I understand Your Honor's question, it is something that I've thought about. Certainly in many other forms of claim sentencing errors, to allow race, gender, and other prohibited factors to weigh into the equation in any fashion is unconstitutional. While it might help Mr. Hayes' cause for me to claim that here, I'm not sure that that's the case, because quite frankly, the victim vignettes were offered to guide Judge Randa's consideration of the nature and circumstances of Hayes' offense conduct. Certainly, if
his long-term impact on the psychological being of the victims.
Pardon me?
You mean the long-term impact on the psychological makeup of the victims?
Yes, as that might aggravate the
offense
conduct.
The question, as I gather it, is that a legitimate thing for the sentencing judge to consider?
I think so long as Congress has given victims a right to speak at sentencing, concomitant with that is an ability of the judge to weigh the perceptions of the victims as it relates to the nature, circumstances, and seriousness of the offense.
So you take into consideration the predisposition of the victim to have that same position even before the incident?
I suspect so. This wasn't a contested sentencing.
My question really revolves on how you explore that sort of thing.
I suppose that if a victim of a bank robbery wished to come to court and speak to the emotional trauma they suffered as a result of the robbery, defense counsel could present evidence and perhaps cross-examine on the issue of, you know, weren't you kind of emotionally unstable before my client ran into the bank with a gun?
Not bad. You're into your rebuttal time. I didn't want to go.
I apologize.
No, don't apologize. It was my problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Keeney.
May it please the court. Good morning.
Let's leap into where we left off. Do you consider a legitimate consideration for the trial, for the sentencing judge to use?
I do think it's a legitimate consideration, and I would point out in this regard that the sentencing judge was very careful not to validate the feelings of racial discomfort that this victim claimed to have. He even says
yes. That's probably true, or anything foolish.
Well, that would be a problem. But I just wanted to point that out for the court. He says, right in the quoted passage that's at the heart of this appeal, he says, you know, when this little bit of evil touches you, it has a tendency to spread. And he's referring to what he calls racial relationships. I'll get to that in a minute. But I do think, you know, bank robbery in particular is one of those crimes where you don't know what's going to happen as a result of your conduct. You go into a bank with a gun, and you have to accept the consequences of your actions. Somebody drops dead of a heart attack because they're frightened of your gun. That's something a sentencing judge could take into account. And I think the psychological impact, good, bad, or indifferent, is also something that the judge may consider. United States versus Gall says that significant procedural errors at sentencing amount to an abuse of discretion. I would argue first that there was no error. What we have here is an inartful and misplaced reference to paragraph 24 of the PSR. In the middle of talking about Diane Smith's victim impact testimony, the judge adverts to the testimony of Ms. Caballos Navarrete, who is probably also the same victim who told the pre-sentence writer about her negative reaction when she had to interact with a person of color. So, as I say, that's inartful and it's misplaced, but I don't believe it's in error. To the extent that it is an error, I think the court needs to ask itself, is it a significant error? It's undisputed that the robbery disrupted relationships within the bank, and it's undisputed that one of the tellers reported this problem with racially discriminatory feelings. So what Judge Randa came out with, or you could interpret what he said this way, the robbery affected racial relationships within the bank, is the sum any worse than the parts? The parts here are, we had great relationships at the bank, and that all changed as a result of the robbery. That's part A. And then part B is this individual teller who reported the problems that she had. Those are two very bad things. If you add them up...
Did the judge conflate the two?
Sorry?
Did Judge Randa conflate the two?
I don't believe he did, but at the worst, that's what he did. And my argument is the sum isn't any worse than the parts. Okay?
And how big a part of the sentencing was this?
Well, I don't think this figured prominently in the judge's thinking. If you look at the entire transcript, it seems clear that Judge Randa regarded this defendant as a rather typical bank robber. Judge Randa has sentenced many bank robbers in the course of his career, and he talked about that at the sentencing hearing. This particular individual, whose characteristics were addressed by the judge, was a Category 4. He had committed four armed bank robberies, and he received a sentence in the middle of the guideline range. There's really no evidence that the comment about racial relationships, however you interpret it, was a tipping factor one way or the other for the sentencing judge. So we would ask you to affirm the sentence unless there are any further questions from the panel.
This was the sentence that the prosecution had asked for?
Yes, it was, Judge.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stiller. You have 2.5 minutes.
Thank you.
The government's argument essentially calls upon this court to speculate contrary to what the record reveals. At page 34 of the sentencing transcript, where Judge Randa is speaking about the nature and circumstances of the offense and the damaged workplace morale, and where he states it even affected racial relations with some of them, he goes on to conclude that same paragraph by stating, but that is just another emphasis on why the nature and circumstances of the offense is a serious one. So clearly, he did factor in his perception of the morale, the damaged morale at the bank, into a 3553A factor. And it's for those reasons that I believe that vacating the sentence and remanding is necessary. The other point that I hoped to make is escaping me at this specific moment. It's the idea that... Counsel for the government has stated that, is this an error in which the sum exceeds the whole of its parts or vice versa? The issue of race and racial relationships is a hot button. Whether we're talking about a chamber's staff or a federal defender office, were we to learn of, boy, employee morale is low, we'd be concerned. Were we to learn that amongst a chamber staff or a group of federal public defender employees, that the morale is low because racial relationships are a problem, that's not just concerning, that's troublesome. It's legally cognizable. So to inject into Ms. Smith's story that a hunky-dory environment amongst a group of folks who showed up at work every day was not just damaged, but damaged in a way that involved racial turmoil is a uniquely aggravating circumstance that the record in this case does not support. So absent any questions, I thank you for your time and attention.
All right. Thank you. And our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.